Hello and welcome to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Oberle, senior writer at VikingsTerritory.com, PurplePTSD.com. That's Mark Craig. Wait, over there. Mark Craig is the NFL insider, Vikings writer for the Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. Mark, Minnesota suffered one of its most dispiriting events yesterday. It's crushing. I don't know how people are getting past it, but Taylor Swift did not come to the game on Sunday. I mean, how do you get over that?
You know, she was in New York, Joe. We're just good flyover people, and you know that she hates us, and it's hard to recover from, Joe. It's hard to recover from.
Yeah, I swear when Travis Kelce got hurt, the look on his face on the sidelines was sadness that you know Taylor wasn't here and he was. And the Vikings were making a comeback, and he got over, he got back into the game and helped defeat him. Oh my goodness, what a I watched this game in piecemeal. I saw the first play of the game from scrimmage for the Vikings, and thought just like every other Minnesotan did, here we go again with a fumble after a great play by slant pass to Josh Oliver, and he coughs it up just like he'd been doing all season, and it was deja vu all over again, and you give Pat Mahomes and his team a gift like that, and you're just not going to recover. And in the final analysis, they lost by 7. It's not the whole game wasn't lost then because the Vikings played well and came back and had some things decent happen. But in the end, the turnovers that once again are just killing this team in a team that could have won every game they played in, save for the turnover. 7 turnovers in the first quarter of this season. 7.
Yeah. You sound like Sid. Throw out those 7 turnovers and they're 5-0, baby.
I didn't say that, but they could have won those games, Mark. You know that those turnovers.
Yeah, well, you know, that if that's just the way the league is. If you turn the ball over, you're gonna lose. My first thought when I saw it was we don't have to do a podcast. We'll have Mike Woldham dub in, you know, the new name of the turnover. It's the same.
Oh, I don't have to listen to your trolling every week. Good. That's perfect.
It's the same theme. It's the same story. It's the same. Just like last year. Last year we were talking about each week. It was like, wow, you know, is it good? Is it luck or do you create your own luck? So I was on the side. Well, no, I wasn't. I was on. We weren't on different sides on that. But
yes. You said they were very. Are they bad?
Shut the hell up, Joe. I'm trying to talk.
Huh? I know, but go ahead.
You create your own luck. I mean, this team could beat anybody in the league. They could lose to anybody in the league too. That they're the most disappointing team in the league right now. And people would say maybe the Giants, but I think the Vikings are better than the Giants. And the Giants have had some, you know, just getting destroyed and embarrassed.
They're better than the Giants.
Better than the Giants, but they can't win. They just can't win. They can't put it together. And they cut to the chase right away by doing it on the first snap. The game was 10 seconds old when the Vikings basically put themselves in a hole that they never got out of. Because the Chiefs got the ball at the 45. They do what the Chiefs do. They go right down. They score. And then the Vikings could never get over that. And
so you're saying that last year they created their own luck or they were lucky. And this year.
I didn't say they were lucky. I'm just saying we had that discussion last year about is it luck? Do you create your own luck? Da 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 da. Back up, you know, whatever.
And what's the answer?
And it was, you know, it's the same. You know, last year, they did a lot of things, but. One thing they did is they took the ball away from the other team and they did not turn the ball over. So, and I thought that yesterday's defensive game plan was good. And I thought that it was winning caliber defense and the scheme was winning caliber, but they don't take the ball away from, you know, they got to get some takeaways.
I'd settle for them just to stop giving it up. I mean, you know, 7 fumbles in the first or 7 turnovers in the first quarter of this season resulted in that field goal by I can't even know his name, Greg Joseph. He hasn't been on the field so little this year. That was the first points by this team in the first quarter this season in 5 games. The first points, you know, that's because you go down there and you on the very first series every time you give the ball up and then you start paying. You can't do it. It's it's terrible. You know, I mean, what are they nervous? Are they, you know, skittish? Are they don't have a leader that says, screw this, let's go out and win? I mean, you know, last year, yes, they showed some guts and came back from being down and never gave up. And there's a bit of that this year, but they keep putting themselves in holes right out of the gate, you know, and they've had a pretty tough schedule, and you're not going to, you know, they've lost to three division leaders. You're not going to win those games if you cough it up. I mean, good Lord, everybody, a different person every week. This week it was Josh Oliver. It's been McAllister. It's Ben Hawkinson. It's been, you know, name somebody that's given it up. Just unbelievable. Sorry. I'm a little cranked up this morning.
Is there anything else needs to be said? The theme is the fact that it happens, but you know, Josh Oliver, one of my five extra points. Josh Oliver has had a 40 game career, had never lost a fumble in his career. In first play of the game, he was at a point where all the emphasis is on don't turn the ball over, and it's actually getting to the point where you wonder if you know how when you stand on a tee box, Joe, and you say I don't want to hit it right out of bounds. And your brain hears out of bounds right, doesn't hear the don't point, and you go out, especially me, go out of bounds right. You know, maybe it's time to go to the three wood, Joe, and stop talking about it, stop fixating on it. I don't know.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's that, you know, when Kirk Cousins threw the pick six, you know, that to me was avoidable. You know, a lot of these are avoidable, but you find guys like Josh Oliver said that he was just trying to do too much, you know, trying to extend the play, trying to get more and more. Well, how do you play? You don't catch the ball and just fall down. You know? So he says you have to tuck it. And, you know, you're looking at it. And another part of this is it's out there and everybody's talking about it, and everybody, and granted, defenses always go for the strip. They always go for the takeaway, mm-hmm. but I think there's another level to this, the way defenses are playing. It's like, we've got to go for the ball. And it's just becomes, it's like, it's chum in the water. It's like the sharks are just circling them. Hawkinson's, whatever game that was Chargers. The guy just reached in, grabbed it from him. This one, you know, the helmet, I believe the helmet was right on the ball. You've got to protect it even harder than normal, because their teams are just like, hey, they're going to give us the ball on the first drive. So, yeah, 3 points in the first quarter, yeah, but they could be 20 points in the first quarter.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, I heard Ron Johnson and Norda on KFAN talking about this, and they're talking about punishment for, you know, or some kind of way to get people to focus even more on protecting the ball. And one of them suggested, you know, every time you fumble, you watch the rest of the team do extra push-ups, sit-ups, you know, things. They take the penalty. That'll get to your head. But do you think old Kevin O'Connell, Mr. Kumbaya, has got it in him to maybe set somebody down or say, okay, you know, I can't put you on the field. It's too much of a lie. Now, granted, it's been so many people. It's not you wouldn't have a starting lineup if you did that. But, you know, any thoughts there?
What's he going to do? I mean you know, after he said that, Kirk Cousins throws a pick six. Is he gonna sit Kirk Cousins?
Right.
Whenever he came out and said, we're gonna make personnel changes, we're gonna change this one way or the other, and I said what he should do is put Nick Muse out there, have Nick Muse fumble, and he said, Nick, get it, you're done. Yeah, I'm shipping you to Cleveland, Timbuktu. But you know, if TJ Hawkinson, the highest paid tight end in history, fumbles, he has a ball ripped out of, you know, what's he going to do? Sit him down? And maybe he should sit him down now. But, you know, Kirk Cousins, you know, Justin Jefferson had a couple of drops, or, you know.
Just going
to
talk
about it. What was a high pass to in the flat? Trying to just get a screen to the guy, and he couldn't complete it. That, you know, having him do sit-ups and push-ups, and, you know, that worked when – in the, I'll say early 80s, and for you, probably mid 70s when you were in high school.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what they did when you took kids in high school, but you just can't, you're not going to do that in the NFL today. I mean, it's
no,
you know, no. I mean, it's on maybe you do need to do some punishing or some, but it just doesn't, that's not going to happen.
You know, you kind of brought up the golf analogy, and I'm going to bring up another one. You talk about drops. So it's next on the agenda. I mean, Madison drops a screen pass that would have, you know, maybe gone for on the final drive for a touchdown. Hockenson once again has his drops. It's almost like they got the yips. I think there is some panic with this team. Now, maybe that's a product of always having to come back and scramble to get a win. Last year, those things were working for them. Last year, they got bounces. Last year, they got they created some luck. They capitalized on it. This year, though, the ball's bouncing away. But I think, like, I mean, Cousins threw a lot of high passes, and some of the passes he threw to these guys was so hard they weren't ready for him. I think, you know, passes had gone through some players' hands because he was, that to me is a product of desperation or panic that I got to throw it even harder to get it there, or else I'm going to turn around. I got to make a play here, and then I don't secure the ball, and the way I'm, you know, I lose that fundamental. I don't know. You know, when you're 1-5, 1-4 team, that stuff's going to settle in. And I think they need a sports psychologist right out of the Natural Baseball movie. You know, get
in there. Yeah. Well, maybe Kirk's personal trainer's making him too strong and he's throwing it too hard, right? So we got to back off on that guy. No, you know, the passes that Hockenson's dropping, you know, are hitting to me. Okay, this is a perfect example. You're on the field with Jason, with Travis Kelce, you know, probably one of the two. You know, one of the, you know, he's got to be top five all time.
He's going to have the records if he stays in.
The other guy, you know, and we shouldn't attach money to everything, but the other guy got paid more than him. All right, and if a ball, if there's a ball that's hitting him, if the ball's coming off of his hands, no matter how hard it's thrown, it should be caught. There were the biggest drop I thought that hurt them. In the third quarter, the Chiefs open up and they go 74, 75 yards. They score a touchdown. Okay. The next play is Hockenson is tightly covered and he's going down the middle of the field. Kirk hits him. Kirk had threw a really spot on ball. You know, Kelce or Hockenson's hands are just above the defender and it goes off his hands and they go 3 and out.
Yeah,
you know, that, and then the Chiefs follow that up with another 75-yard touchdown. They go up 2 scores. You know that can't happen. Whenever you got a guy that you love, and he's a good player, and I think he had 3 drops total. Josh Oliver also had a ball go right through his hands on the sideline. Yep. That's a great throw by Kirk. You know, granted he's a blocking tight end and everything, but you know the ball goes through his hands. You know, Madison, as you said, had the drop. Maybe the only guy who didn't drop a ball was the rookie. That's another issue is besides the turnovers is you got these, you know, and Kirk's statistically having a good season. They're rattling off all the things he's doing, but
yeah,
it's not translating.
What's going on with Hockenson? Is he still holding in, Mark? That's what I want to know. Is he still holding in?
Maybe he needed to practice more in the summer. I don't know.
It's got to be tough for Kwesi to watch Laporta over in Detroit just have a field. He had 2 touchdowns yesterday. He had a bunch of receptions. He just looks like the next Travis Kelce. And we traded with Detroit for Hockenson. I'm not ready to give up on Hockenson by no stretch of the imagination, but he's getting outplayed by the rookie who they traded away. They traded away Hockenson and then drafted Laporta with their first overall draft. They knew what they were doing. Kwesi in this transaction looks like he got swindled. You know,
I mean those things go back and forth. And last year it was a win-win for both. I will say that the Lions identified what they were going to willing to pay. The Lions knew what was coming down the pike financially for Hockenson, and they weren't willing to pay it. I mean, they liked him as a player, but they were not going to pay him and make him the highest paid tight end. They were 1-6 when they traded him. You know, they're doing pretty good since then. And it's not just because they got rid of him, but I'm saying that there's a lot of things right now that Kwesi, that's going against him. I mean, one would be, and I wrote about it last Wednesday, was Pacheco. You know, you look at how hard that guy runs, and the first couple, you know, third downs were situations where they didn't need to throw the ball. Pacheco's slamming the ball in there. He's getting – this is a guy who had 7 touchdowns for a Super Bowl team, started in the Super Bowl. That, you know, there was – and I did the follow the bouncing ball on the all the trades that were done on day 3 involving – you know, remember when the Vikings, they traded – the Raiders traded up with the Vikings in the fourth round or fourth, fifth round, whatever it was, 126 for 122.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders take a running back. The Vikings drop down, and they at 126, they trade the pick back to the Raiders. The Raiders end up getting the 250th pick. The Vikings take one of those 2 picks they get for that and take Ty Chandler. Okay, you know, it was a promising player and everything. The Chiefs sit there at 251, take Pacheco, and the guy is fantastic, and he would look pretty good as a Viking right now. So there's a lot of these, you know, I'm not saying we should know, like, the difference between Pacheco and Ty Chandler, but your general manager and people like that, those are the kind of things that start adding up, good or bad. The Chiefs are on top, not only because they got Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and Taylor Swift, and Andy Reid. They're on top because they draft and they kill the draft. They've crushed the draft from 1 through 7.
They're surviving without in the wake of the Tyreek Hill trade, without a number one receiver. You know, they're 4-1, and they're still surviving because they know what they're doing. I mean, that's a very good point. I was thinking, as you're talking about Pacheco, the Vikings might not trade him because they had Dalvin Cook. Well, the Chiefs had Hilaire at this point when they drafted Pacheco, so they probably weren't happy with him, and now Hilaire hardly gets in the game. They go in and take a running back on top of him. I guess you can't be afraid to do that, you know, players are good guys.
You're talking about like 9 spots from the end of the draft. You're talking about picking players. You're talking about, you know, just picking, you know, good players. And you're right. They had, you know, the Vikings, you know, you could say the Vikings had Kane. They had this guy. They had that guy. But they also they took Chandler. Took Chandler with one of those picks that they got from the Raiders. You know, there was just so much of this, you know, we're smarter than everyone, and we're going to trade this, we're going to trade here, we're going to trade up, we're going to trade back down, we're going to give you back your draft pick and get this and that. And I'm just saying that, you know, team like the Chiefs sit there and go, when is it our turn? Okay, here's my pick, Pacheco.
You're exactly right, Mark. And I was going to say this to Lair, but I'm going to say it now since we're talking about the draft. Brock Purdy was available to every team in the Caldang League. He was available, and he threw 4 touchdown passes last night against the Dallas Cowboys. There's another team that just knows how to draft players.
Yeah, I don't know that they felt they had this in Brock Purdy, but you got to give him credit for drafting. And I don't know that Brock Purdy does this, you know. There aren't a lot of places that this happens, but mm-hmm. This is why I voted for Shanahan last year as coach of the year, because when they lost Trey Lance and then they lost Garoppolo, and then they just kept winning. You know, it's their system, and it's also because they have a great offensive line. But, you know, this isn't the 49ers podcast, but that's the best team in the league.
Oh, I watched him last night sprint out and hit Kittle in the end zone, you know, on the run. He looks very, very good.
Yeah, they have so many weapons.
Yes, and they're going against this vaunted Cowboys defense that's supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. And anyway, we can talk about that later. There's so much more to talk about here with the Vikings. I pick apart in this game, and we're going to do that. So let's take a quick break and get the 49ers out of our head, because they're coming in 2 weeks. We don't want to talk about them yet. But come on back, and we'll talk more Vikings on the Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast. Okay, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast. Mark and I are still hatching it off, even during the break. Can't let this one go. There's so many things to talk about there, and I'll tick off a few of them. Delay of a game on 4th and 7 late. Because they didn't have any timeouts. There's bad challenges. There's that, you know, you're gonna lose challenges. You're gonna lose timeouts. And then they had, you know, timeouts because they couldn't get the play called and the personnel in time. This is a, what, 12-year veteran quarterback. This is, you know, only a second-year coach. Maybe that's part of it. But what's going on over there on the sidelines? KOC had a bad game yesterday, didn't he, Mark?
Well, you know, maybe and I like Kevin, but maybe Kevin gets a little too wordy, maybe. when he's trying to get things in, he does like to use a lot of words, and he does talk.
Let's calm down his quarterback before he sends in the play.
Yeah, it was not, you know, the first challenge. I felt like it was not as bad as the second one, but you know, as the Chiefs receiver is going out of bounds, you know, there's some question whether, you know, his one toe lifts up as he's gaining control of the ball, but there, you know. You have to have confidence that it's going to get overturned. And I think right. It was so close. It was just such a close call that they were going to go with what was on the field. So, I mean, maybe you back off of that one. The second one, you know, Kelsey's on the ground and he's got the ball pinned to his helmet and he's clearly on the ground. He's clearly down and Metellus pulls it out. And it's like, and that you did it and you've lost the challenge. So it's halfway through the third quarter. You got to go. That means you got to go 22 minutes, 23 minutes without a challenge, and he throws the red flag, and it's like, wow. And so they're out of challenges, and it costs them a timeout. Which,
that's the bigger penalty in it, that they cost two timeouts. Right.
Maybe the bigger penalty because what if right after that there had been something that was really egregious and it really blew it? You'd be like, we don't have a challenge. So. You can't go in this the way that this league is now. You can't, and every other place looks like it should be reviewed. You can't go 20 some minutes without having a challenge. I don't think.
By the same token,
especially to risk it on something like that, it was just not going to win.
In KOC's defense, a game like this can turn on a play like that. You know, if it's a play,
but it wasn't. You got to have. You know, these are situational masters, Joe. They've told us over and over and over again their system about how they got everything figured out. Someone needs to take a look at that and have the intel, have the experience to say that was not gonna, that's not gonna work. If it was definitely in the Vikings' favor, yeah, I agree. You make that call, but it wasn't, and someone needed to go quickly enough. To get that relayed to, you know, this we're talking situation, and they're masters at this situation. So they dropped the ball on that one, Joe.
Mark, it just came to me, and you know, I'm going to say it here. I got a great idea what the Vikings should do in this regard. You got all these former refs up in the booth to help the booth people. Get one of them in your booth. Have a ref right in your booth, and he can tell you, do not challenge that. Do not challenge.
Maybe they need, like, to promote some, you know, from both. You know, find an executive situational master to oversee the situation.
Yeah, a former ref who knows, you know, exactly. Who's left the game and knows the discussions that these refs have. They knows that, you know, the emphasis is that they have. And he's sitting right next, and he's on the headphones with Kevin, and he says, no, they're not going to overturn. There's not enough. Do not challenge. You know.
Well, they're paying Reisner $4 million to practice, so maybe they could pay the situation executive situational master $2 million or something like that.
Oh, God, I think it's a good idea. I'm gonna send. I mean, next time you see KOC, tell them that.
I will add this as we're being, you know, we're sarcastic. I'm serious. And everything, but. Even with the turnover, even with the drops, and even with all this, and you hate to say it's not a moral victory or anything, but you know, it could be a lot worse when the Chiefs come in. I mean, this is a team that you had a chance to beat, and they are. I wouldn't say they're the best team in the league right now. They might not even be the best team in the AFC.
But, I think they will be though.
But you know, this is a, you know, the you. You have it in your ability to win these games, and it's not that far. You have to stretch to get it done. So, I mean, O'Connell didn't help him, which is, you know, that's his job is to help him. But he did have him, I think, and Flores too. I'm sure we'll talk about the defense here. Yeah. But, they had him ready to play, and except for the turnover.
But on the other hand, you know, and I was talking about with Mike Woldem, our producer, about this before the game. You know, they were in every one of these games. You know, three division winners, leaders right now. They could have beaten any one of them. Could have, not necessarily should have, but they could have. And the problem is they're going to win some games. They're going to win next week. Previewing the prediction segment, and they're going to lose to the 49ers. But I'm sorry.
You better be careful making that a lock.
Yeah, and they're going to win some other games, and they're not going to be able to tank because they got Flores on the staff. They're just not going to tank. So we're going to end up just not getting in the playoffs, not getting a good draft choice, and just, you know, being in the middle of the draft and not – it's going to be a wasted year, you know. I mean, if they need to get up front, no offense to Kwesi, but they need to get up in the top five so you get a goddamn blue chipper next year.
Well, just – keep turning the ball over, Joe, and you'll get up in that top five.
Well, they will do that. Yes, that's true. Other plays to chip away at. You know, that you and I chatted a little bit about this before the podcast. The maybe could have been called the defensive pass interference. They threw the flag, picked it up, and then the Snead from the Chiefs took off his helmet, and KOC went apoplectic about it. There was no flag call. The ref even turned to him and says, "Why don't you put your helmet back on?" Standing on the field, did not call, throw the flag. Is that because he's on the Chiefs? But I mean, it's like, it's right there. He pulls his helmet off to bitch about the play. If that's not an unsportsmanlike conduct play right there, whether it wouldn't have changed anything because it came after the play and they just would have penalized them some yards. It might have affected the Vikings' last gasp effort, but you know, it's like, come on, guys, let's get it together. You're helping out the Chiefs. I mean, come on.
I mean, the bigger issue, as I told you, was you know, Addison. You know, the reason that they picked it up, and I did go back and watch, you know, because in the press box you're kind of confused, and there's people saying that it was tipped. Well, that would have made it not a penalty, but it wasn't tipped. His arm was hit.
Yep.
And I agree with their reasoning was that, you know, Addison wasn't going for the ball enough. The ball was far enough away from him, and he wasn't going toward the ball. I mean, it could have been called. We've seen, yeah, you know, defenders get penalized for less than that. So it could have. I'm just saying I don't see it as the, oh, my God, we really got screwed. I would like to see and I love that receiver. I love that's one of the only draft picks that Kwesi has going for him right now is that guy. So I love, you know, how he plays and everything. And people could probably say, well, he's so little and so small that he couldn't get over there because the guy was keeping him from going over there. But he wasn't trying. He wasn't trying to get to the ball, wasn't fighting for the ball enough. So that to me is probably the bigger issue than the helmet, because there would have been a change of possession there. I feel like the penalty, Harrison Smith on that 4th-and-1, I feel like, you know, if you look at it from the angle on TV, when you see it from the back, I don't know how much they showed the back. I'm sure they probably showed a lot. I watched the condensed version, and you only get the front angle. Well, the guy, you know, Valdez Scantling, you know, he does a great job, like, making it look like worse than what it was, because he grabs him by the helmet and basically pulls him, makes it look like he's being pulled back, and he's actually the one pulling Harrison back. Harrison could have got his head around sooner, but I think he was trying. He might have been trying to whenever the guy grabbed him by the helmet. So that one, I didn't like that penalty. I didn't like that. Yeah. You know, that's a four. That's a hit. That's huge. It's 4th-and-1.
Yeah.
43-yard. And I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, the blitzing and stuff. But the thing is, they played well enough defensively to beat Mahomes, and Mahomes, you know, is going to have those plays. When you go after him as much as they did.
All right, we'll get into a couple more things I want to talk about here on the offense side of the ball before we hit on the defense. But Justin Jefferson, do you know how bad he's hurt? Is it? It's a tweak.
Well, they were certain. You know, it's a hamstring. You know, I'd be stunned if he's going to play on Sunday. So you know, hamstrings, you know, could take, you know, a few weeks. They were certainly talking, you know, with O'Connell saying there's not going to be a bigger fan in the locker room than him while he's out and stuff. Oh, but we hope he's back on Sunday. you know, I don't think, you know, when These guys are like, they're Indy cars, and it's like you don't just it's not a plow horse where you can just kind of throw him out there again and hope he can, you know, if like in, when Randy Moss sprained or tore or had his hamstring issue, I think it was in 04, they threw him out there just as a decoy like the next week or and you know, he couldn't do anything, and it was pretty obvious quickly in that game. I don't know that they even do that with him, you know, because you just, if I'm him and I don't have that contract, I don't think I'd step on the field. You're looking at least one game without him. Now, the next week is a Monday nighter. You know, the shame would be they don't have him. Well, it's a shame to have not have him in Chicago, too, because he's such a huge part. But, you know, if you can't play against the 49ers, you know, I'm totally guessing, but I'd be this week for sure, but I think it could be multiple weeks.
Is Evans hurt another concussion, and what happened to him?
I didn't get the update on him. But right. He came back in at one point.
What did you think of the offensive line the other day? PFF has ranked them as a top five offensive line, but Kirk got sacked 3 times and hit 12 times on Sunday. It's not very good.
Them as a top three.
Top five. Seat?
Top five for the season?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah.
I would not agree with that. You know, I one of my five extra points was looking at Chris Jones and what how they were going to handle him. Chris Jones can play from over O'Neal all the way over to Darrisaw. Mm-hmm. I thought Darrisaw played him very well. I thought O'Neal, there was one play in the red zone there. You know, it's first and 10 at the 17. They get the first down, but O'Neal is holding Chris Jones, so it becomes first and 20. They had to settle for a field goal. Ezra Cleveland got embarrassed. One of the worst, and I was looking it back, and I had to laugh at what Tony Romo said. Tony Romo goes, "It was so bad, I thought it was a screen pass." You know, I was like, you know, he was like yelling for Kirk to spike it, and he goes, "It wasn't. It was an actual pass." Well. And I talked to Ezra in the locker room afterwards, and he's like, "Well, you know, with Chris Jones, you don't know if it's a bull rush or if he's gonna, you know, he's gonna use hands, which he means like basically you can just plow a guy in with into the quarterback, or you can, you know, get the hand work and get by him." And that's what he did. He got by him so quickly that Kirkwood had no chance. Now that drive was saved a couple of plays later by the fake punt. And they went on and scored, so he sort of got bailed out there, but still that's just I think he also Ezra Cleveland gave up another pressure with Chris Jones. And as you watch, for me, as I'm watching Chris Jones when the Vikings had the ball, the guy can go for you know, play. I mean, first of all, he looks like he's not in very good shape. Secondly, because he leaves the field a lot, and secondly, sometimes he looks like he's going half speed. But you talk about a guy that can flip the switch, and all of a sudden, when it's a critical moment, and just you become a different player. And he did that a couple of times and hurt him. Overall, I still feel like the offensive line gets confused when you do any kind of switch. When the defense does any kind of switch or stunt or anything, it's just so many times where it's like, you know, do they practice? Because you know, teams aren't just going to rush straight ahead. And this guy's got that guy. This guy's got that guy. Just a lot of pressure. And I also feel like, you know, whenever the Chiefs blitzed, you know, they're good at finishing their blitzes.
Yeah. I was talking with Mike earlier. Bradbury improved things, but he's no good to the Vikings if he can't stay on the field. With a back injury, it's just going to keep occurring. He's got these big behemoths pushing on him, and that's just not good for your low back. I don't know how you can count on him to be in there week after. I'm sure he's not going to play maybe this week because you got to rest that back. It probably got strained again. They got to draft a center as well as, you know, another guard. I mean, I'm serious. He can't count on him if he's going to. Isn't that what ended John Sullivan's career basically? Was a back injury or got him, he left here?
Well, he went and won a, he went and played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know, but he was basically done after that.
Yeah. I think he improved. They kept talking about the communication, which I can see that's, you know, and Bradbury did all right yesterday. I think the communication part is, you know, what they were, you know, really, you know, that what he gives them. And so maybe that's a little bit better, but there's just, to me, it's not, they can win with the offensive line, but man, it just seems like Kirk does take the most pressure, and he, I don't know how they consider him a top five line when, Kirk gets the most pressure, and
who knows what these metrics are. Well, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. You're itching to talk about it. And they did put up a good game plan. They're playing against the best, one of the top players in the league and the best quarterback in the league, in my estimation. This guy is, can make lemonade out of sour lemons, spoiled lemons. This guy's amazing. And they had 3 sacks and 9 hits on Mahomes, but he still found a way to beat him when he needed to.
So you didn't go with the chicken salad out of chicken?
I thought about it, but nah.
It's a family. It's a family podcast, Joe.
That's right, Mark.
No, I thought it was a tale of two halves. Last week my entire week was spent, basically with one question: can Flores blitz Mahomes? Because Mahomes was like 31st in the league in number of times teams have blitzed him. The teams have just kind of given up on blitzing him. They'd rather try and make him come down the field, slower. But Flores did blitz him. That's one thing when the Chiefs were on offense, I was just watching. And these are my numbers. I don't know if they match up with some of the PFF. I think sometimes
they're going to be calling you. They're going to be calling you.
Yeah, sometimes PFF defines blitzes as someone that was unexpected to blitz or whatever. I don't know. I'm just counting like 5 or more rushers.
Yeah.
On 43 of his dropbacks, Flores blitzed him 19 times, which is 44.2%, which is lower than what typically Flores does, but a lot higher than what teams are doing against Mahomes. First half, it worked. Mahomes was 5 of 8 for 38 yards and 1 sack. The Daniil sack came on a blitz. Second half changed immediately with, as the play you're probably stands out in your mind, is 3rd and 18. They sent 7 guys.
Seven.
Nobody else, very few people make this throw. So it's hard to fault it when, excuse me, whenever you, you send 7 guys, you almost get to him, but he's able to just get it up in the air, and he throws it, 30 some yards down the field. Cam Bynum is there. And I talked to Cam Bynum after. He's like, the game plan was perfect. He goes, we were in position. He goes, I was in position. I just jumped too early, and I did, and I'm coming down as the ball is arriving. So it's the perfect pass. But these are the kind of things that you risk when, and why a lot of teams don't blitz Mahomes is because he this is not like a fluke thing. He's able to do this with 7 people coming at him, and he knows exactly where to throw it, how to throw it. And a little sidebar on that, I was talking to Childress last week about just Mahomes in general, and Childress was there when they drafted him, and when he sat behind Alex Smith for a year. And he's like, he goes, Mark, it was uncanny to watch them, like special teams are practicing. And he goes, all the NFL players have this drill where they're fun, where they go 40, 50 yards back and they throw and they try to hit the crossbar. And he goes, Mahomes would stand there and do 5, 6 in a row. He said it was uncanny how he could hit the crossbar from 40, 50 yards out. So that's what you're looking at, this guy's ability to do that. So in the second half, it was a different story. 8 of 10 for 88 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he converted 3 of 3 third downs when blitzed in the second half. So I feel like it was, it was a good game plan against Mahomes, and it wasn't as tragic as you thought about, if they blitz him, they're going to get killed.
Right.
I thought Flores had a good game. I thought they could have won with Flores' game plan. And the players said it, and I believe them that they were genuine. Harrison Smith, Cam Bynum, plays were there to be met, for them to make them. They just didn't make them.
Yeah, it's a shame. When you're in position and, I don't know, maybe got excited, maybe it's just poor timing that Cam Bynum, I thought, had a pretty decent game, and that's unfortunate. That turned out to be a huge bad.
Yeah, he had a deflection against Kelsey that was big time at a big moment in the game. And I feel like he's playing very, very well this year.
I'm not jumping off the defense yet, but I did want to mention, I thought the fake punt was a lot of fun that they did. That was a great, great play call at 15 yards for Ty Chandler, where they, They hiked it to, I don't know who they hiked it to. He hands off to Chandler and runs around in. That was a nice play at a nice time. I would love to see it and kept the drive going. But
Metellus took the snap and he handed it to Chandler. Well, if we were out there Friday and we're watching, the media gets to watch the first 20 minutes or whatever, and they typically work on special teams during that time. And you're usually allowed, I think it was Fox 9 that was the only camera there. So you're allowed to film this part of the that's open to the media. So O'Connell came over to the sideline and he said, "Hey, can you just turn that camera aside just for a couple minutes? Do me a favor." So Fox 9 turned it. You know, we can see it, but we're not allowed, we don't report on it, or whatever.
Right.
So they ran that play and we were joking. It's like, Andy Reid's going to be like, completely shocked because he's never seen a fake punt in his life.
You said
when they lined up for that fourth and two, I said, well, here's where they're gonna, because it was like everybody he needs to go for it. You got to go for it on this.
Right.
And Chip Scoggins was saying, you got to go. How do you not go for it on this? And I said, just wait. I said, because I agree that he needed, and that's in O'Connell's nature is to go for it in that situation. And I said, just wait. And then he did it. And it was Matt Daniels. Came up with the play and I like it. Now, it could get ugly if you don't block it well, because that's a lot of stuff that has to happen right behind the line of scrimmage there for him to get around. But it was a great call, great time to call it.
I think KOC sold it too. I mean, the fans were just going, they were showing fans just going, no, you got to go. And he's just kind of, showed this pained look on his face, like, I want to go, I don't want to hear this, but I can't. And so it dramatically on TV, it was sold really well. All of a sudden, fake bun. Ooh, baby.
And we didn't spill the beans, Joe. How you like that?
So you got to appreciate it. You're cynical media, you kept your powder dry on that one. And or no, that's not the cliche I want to, but I'm surprised. I mean, if you did, you'd times out at TCO would not be very good.
Ooh, is that all it takes? All right. I'll keep that in mind as I get closer to the end here.
The third quarter's been an issue for this team. First of all, they screwed up the first play of the game and took away the advantage of going down there and scoring early. And all of a sudden, the Chiefs are able to score at the end of the half and then scoring coming out of the gate. But the Vikings, maybe it's for them. They're just not adjusting well as they come out of halftime, because the Chiefs put together a long drive and they went up and not to relinquish the lead again. So what do you think about this team and their third quarter performance? They just haven't done well, just like they haven't done well in the first.
Well,
quarter.
I feel like, there's been times where I feel like that's been a huge issue. This one, I feel it was more of just like playing Patrick Mahomes and playing the Chiefs and, having to take all the, having to take their punches over and over. I feel like they did a really good job in the first half. I mean, the only touchdown was a 45-yard drive. They did well blitzing him. They only had 13 points. Overall, where they were hurt was, the Chiefs were 9 of 15 on third down, but that's the Chiefs. I mean, since Patrick Mahomes became their quarterback, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a team that's better on third down. They had a lot of third and shorts also, and that was – they were able to run, and they, you give them third and short, it's like, wow, how do you stop it? So I don't feel like the adjustments even though they weren't as good with the blitz in the second half, if they could have been a little sharper on third downs, that would have been good. But I don't feel like Philadelphia, I felt like, man, Mahomes or Flores needed to change, and he didn't change. The Chargers, Flores needed to change something and it, he didn't do it. This time I feel like, he had a pretty good plan. They weren't as good as they should have been on third down, but I feel like, the defense played well enough to win.
Do you, the defense did play a pretty good game. Are they improving? Are they starting to figure out with Flores what's going on? Is this a harbinger of things to come? Are they going to get better? Should we not throw in the, the bat baby in the bathwater on this season. There's no,
I think they're, I think a big reason that they're getting better is Davenport has arrived, and
yeah,
he clearly wants to surprise me. I didn't think that he was going to be a guy that was going to come in and you know, be the kind of his play with the violence that he plays with. I didn't think that he had that. I don't know if I said this last week, but I was talking to Daniil Hunter because I did a story on him before the season. And Daniil Hunter was like, you know, I love Davenport. And he was just saying it to me. So it wasn't like it was in a podium or anything where he needed, you know, sometimes they may not say the most genuine things, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't even, I think I did quote him. But so I came up to him after he had a sack last week. And said, I didn't think he had it in his bag. And Daniil's like, yeah, don't go to sleep on this guy. So I think you're seeing some violence there. You're seeing another guy that's able to beat, you know, when you get all these bodies going at him, you know that Daniil can get there. And I think you're starting to realize that that Davenport can get there. And then you sprinkle in, you know, the Patrick or Pat Jones and Wonnum and, you know, Harrison, you know, that third and 18, you know, going back to whether the defense was a good call or not, you know, they're just like a fraction of a second late, but as he's letting that ball go, Daniil's on one side, Harrison Smith's on the other. And so there was, the pressure was there. It's just a great play by a Hall of Fame player.
Oh, but no luck involved with the catch. Nah, none at all. No luck involved that Bynum jumped early. No luck for the Chiefs because they're goddamn great. They don't have luck. Yeah.
You start raising a few trophies, then you can call yourself.
We got to take a break before I start going crazy again. Okay, thanks. Come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. Okay, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, you know, before we get into the prediction segment, which I've already previewed mine, there's two teams in the NFC that the Vikings would have to really play well today. You know, I want to go out on a limb here since this is kind of the prediction segment. The Vikings, I don't think, are going to win the Super Bowl this year. I mean, any thoughts on that? I just don't think they're going to do it.
So you're off the bandwagon, Joe. I mean, you know.
I'm not off the bandwagon. I mean, it's a competitive rebuild. Come on, man.
They're the first team who matched their loss total from last year, if you're interested in that. But what if they win? How many games are left? What if they win 12 in a row, and then you get, you know, so the 15, 14, 15. What if they win 15 in a row and they win it all, Joe?
Back up out front of the bandwagon, baby.
Well, yeah, like I said, this is it's a frustrating. Disappointing team because they're talented enough. Where I think they come up short is they're talented, but they aren't you build a team from the inside out. They're not strong. They're not physically strong like, you know, the Eagles and the 49ers. Washington is strong, but they don't have the skill talent that the Vikings have. You know, like you look at Washington's defensive line, you put that on the Vikings, whew. Or like the Eagles defensive line or the 49ers. That's where I feel they come up short, is they're just not physically strong enough to be one of those dominant teams.
You know, with my anti-Cowboys bias, been pretty nice in the past few weeks to see the Cowboys, who is every year, they're always picked to win the Super Bowl. Every year, this is the year. Well, they got beat by the Cardinals, and now they got their hats handed to them yesterday by a better team out in San Francisco, you know.
Well, you know, as I'm on week six and I have multiple survivor picks left as survivor pool is like disappearing. So I'm watching, you know, more games than I typically watch. And I have watched the 49ers. I just love how the 49ers are playing. They play fast. They got so many weapons that it's like, it's just crazy how many weapons they have. Their offensive line is, to me, the best in the league. That left tackle he might be the best player in the league, and he's 100 years old. And they just move fast, they move quick, and they just keep coming at you. And normally I wouldn't, I would, one of my, because I like to spread the picks out. So I don't, like, if one, like, if I had two picks on the Lions and I was like sweating that one out, even when it was 35-17 in the fourth quarter or whatever, I'm like, oh, come on, Lions, don't let me down. So I spread it out, and I, you know, and normally you'd say San Francisco might be ripe for an upset with the Cowboys coming in, because, you know, NFL, when you're up here and you're the best, and you, you know, next week you're down here. And I just didn't see that with the 49ers, because they are so, and there's no injuries, you know, that's, so yeah, you don't have any injuries. The Cowboys have some injuries coming, and I figured they would just go after the Cowboys, and that's what they did. And that, that's, you know, for right now, it's almost like, you know, if you're good, this good, this early, something's going to happen. But McCaffrey, you know, you worry about him, his health. You know, eventually Purdy's going to lose. They're going to hit a little bump in the road. But right, they are the best team in the league right now.
Wow. Mark, I guess I got a pull for you in the Sorara pool, because maybe if you win it, I might get paid for my the prediction segment beer laugh from last year.
But, well, that's, I'll fax it to you.
Fax it to you. Nice.
Where you – or that you can, what's it called? Like, you can build something, a fax machine that
builds. Oh, yeah. I don't know what you call, but I know you can, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, no, that won't work. Chiefs and Dolphins in the AFC both have one loss. They're rising as the best in the AFC. You know, you got this Cincinnati's got an injured quarterback. You've got your old buddy Bill Belichick, who's no longer in the conversation. Whoo, they got handed to them yesterday. The Buffalo Bills are their usual up and down. I think they'll be there at the end, but they're, you know, we thought there's a lot of good teams over there. The Jets are no longer without Aaron Rodgers. So I think your two teams over there, I mean, the Chargers are making their way back after a slow start. They're going to be okay, I think.
You know, Bill Belichick has been he's been rumored to break some rules occasionally over the years and create some gates like Spygate. And
rumored, Mark. Rumored.
I'm thinking that maybe this could be Tankgate. Bill Belichick might have it. Might have the because I don't think you get fired if you're Bill Belichick.
Right.
So you probably have like a, you know, I could totally 100%. I know he's competitive and he's probably doesn't like to lose, but if he can get the first, I'll make sure that before I say all this, I want to make sure that they didn't trade away their number one pick for anything. But, you know, if I'm assuming he has his number one pick, his first round pick, I could see Belichick throwing the towel in to get the quarterback he wants.
Absolutely. He wants to beat Shula. He wants Shula's record.
I don't know. That's just, I'm just throwing it out there. But, yeah, you know, the Dolphins are, you know, they got a track team for an offense, and I love the little waddle, the little penguin thing. You know, I'm not a big celebration guy, but that's kind of goofy enough for me. But yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill is ageless, and Waddle is great. And, you know, nobody, I didn't see Tua playing like this, you know, even though he has it in him. Just kind of,
I had him on my fantasy team for 2 years, Mark, and he was terrible. I kept, you know, I thought, okay, it's the next best thing. And he never materialized, and all of a sudden, boom, this is the year. He's really playing well.
But, that was another one of my survivor picks. But you worried about, like, the Giants had doing what the Bears did on Thursday night. The Bears, you know, we'll talk about them, but the Bears basically got tired of being made fun of, and they popped someone in the nose.
They did. They look good, and it's a great segue. The Bears are not the Bears of this week are not the Bears of the first three or four games. They played well on Thursday night, and very well. And I'm sorry, I was in Chicago last year for this game, and I saw what I saw, and I don't think they're ready. We know the Vikings are a desperate team. We know there's always troubles when they go down there, but there's, you know, if they can contain Mahomes, not contain him, but keep him in check, I think they can do the same with Justin Fields. So I think they're going to dial up a win next week, and you know, you can pick against it. So because we're both 3-2, you know, we have both been picking the same for the whole season so far. I don't know. Are you ready to mix it up, Mark? What are you seeing?
I haven't decided, but I'm going back and forth. I sort of like that Flores having a plan against him. This is, you know, Thursday night was a good example. And since I touted my good survivor picks, I also took the Commanders. I took them because I figured, you know, everything, you know, Chicago's so beat up. They're down to their JV team. It's a Thursday nighter. The Bears are on the road. Washington, I love their defensive line. And so everything adds up. You know, okay, this should be a win. This should be a win. And then you click on the TV, and one team, like I said, pissed off that they're being made fun of every day and being laughed at. And so they rise up and they pound. They play as like it's the Super Bowl. And the other team sleepwalks through. And I think it was even Magic Johnson even basically said that in the mirror. You know, they just didn't show up for the first half. And they thought they could turn it on like Denver did against Chicago the week before, and they couldn't do it. So when you make these picks, like in two things, emotions, how a team's going to play, and turnovers. So those are the two things you can't predict, and that always seems to play a role in it.
And what happens after a Super Bowl, Mark? There's a letdown. So
well, exactly. That's why. But then you factor in they got a little bit extra time.
Yeah,
I'm sure we're going to disagree at some point, but I can't pull the trigger on that. Well, should I do it, Joe? Then I'll have to justify it later when I'm actually making my pick. Screw it. They turned the ball over too much, Joe. I'm going to take the Bears.
Whew. Here it is. The first diversion of the force. The first, I think I'm going to start a new.
Oh, and also, no Justin Jefferson. I'm liking this more and more. So,
okay.
Let's we can't just, you know, they're going to win, they're going to lose. You know, we got to break it up. So,
it's going to be Jordan Addison's coming out party. They're going to find out who he is. And then they're going to say, I guess we don't have to pay so much, Justin.
I will say that one thing it's going to be different this week is I'd like to look this up and see when's the last time Mahomes didn't have a carry. You know, Mahomes never did not run once.
You know, I thought he did once. No.
Yep.
Wow.
Maybe it was called back. Well, the only time he ran was when they were in the red zone, and this was his best play of the game. Was I think it was a third down as well. He took off running, and he's like a half a step from the line, and Maisie even sees the guy, and he turns and he throws it. Maybe it was Kelsey, and throws it for the first down, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
When he takes off almost like he's moving in slow motion, his heart rate's probably as if he's sitting home watching, you know, TV, and to be able to decipher all this stuff. And yeah, he makes that little quick turn throw to his left when he looked like he was going to take off running. But yeah, you compare like him not running to what, you know, Justin Fields is probably going to run a lot.
Yeah. Good point.
Justin Fields played with a lot of confidence the last 2 weeks, and he got a win for it last week. This is why I'm waffling on it, but I'll make the Bears pick. I'm going to say the Bears. But I can also see Brian Flores, you know, making life miserable for Justin Fields. Hey, the loser last place alone, Joel, so.
That's right.
Vikings are the better team. There's no doubt the Vikings are the better team. But I'm tired of saying, well, if they don't turn the ball over, this is who they are turning the ball over for now. And I'm just going to say their first quarter, they're going to – I'm adding the jinx factor, Joe. I'm going to jinx my, you know, the Bears, and the Vikings will win now that I picked the Bears.
Boy, that's the longest prediction out of you ever. You are
one. I know. I wish I would. I kept telling myself to stop like halfway through, but I didn't know how to end it.
My bold prediction, since you're making one, is Brock Purdy's going to be the first Mr. Irrelevant to win a Super Bowl, lead his team to a Super Bowl victory. I don't even know if he is, but I'm sure he is.
I'm sure he is.
And then they'll be talking about him as this late round draft choice. That's the greatest thing since the GOAT Tom Brady, which would be wonderful news. Anyway, that'll do it for this week. Thanks, Mark, for all your insights. Thanks, Mike, for producing behind the scenes. Thanks, folks, for tuning in. We really appreciate it each week. And thanks, Joe Johnson, for putting us here in the first place. So until next week, when we're talking about that Vikings victory over the Bears, knock on wood, we'll see ya. So tune back in, and we'll check you out next time. Until then, skull.
Skull.